But that tail off at the end of the year is not enough to declare Garrett the better player. For their careers, I'm not making this up, Watt has forced more fumbles than Garrett. Watt has more tackles for loss than Garrett. Watt has more quarterback hits than Garrett. Watt has more sacks than Garrett. When they play each other, Watt's team wins more than Garrett's. So what is the rubric? What are they using? What are these evaluators using to say Garrett is better than Watt? Just their eye test? Is that it? 412-928-9370. Are there actually any Steelers fans that agree with this, that Garrett is better than Watt? And therefore, Watt should not be able to get paid as much as Garrett. 412-928-9370. Donnie?
So I pulled up both lists. When you look at passing yards, there's nobody ahead of Ben that didn't win anything. It's Brady, Breeze, Manning, Favre.
Yep.
Then Ben's number five. Now, he will likely get caught by Aaron Rodgers this year, funny enough.
But he's won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Rodgers will likely leapfrog Phillip Rivers and Ben.
Mm-hmm.
The only other person that has a shot to pass Ben is Matt Stafford, who's about five.
And he's won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's 4,000 and change.
So where's Marino on that list now?
Ninth. He's ahead of Stafford.
He's getting passed by these guys who can't hold a candle to him.
And then when it comes to touchdowns, Marino is ahead of Ben. So is Phillip Rivers. Ben has 418.
Rivers threw more touchdowns.
Yeah, Rivers threw 421, Marino threw 420.
So that's what I mean. Like, if someone just pulled up a stat and said, oh, Rivers has thrown more touchdowns, like intern Dom does with Aaron Rodgers. Oh, Aaron Rodgers threw more touchdowns than Josh Allen, so he's just as good. Somebody pulled up Rivers' career touchdowns and said, see, this is proof he's better than Ben. Ben would leapfrog him again because it's two Super Bowls to none. Garrett doesn't have that. His team is, other than 2020, and I know what happened in that game, the Steelers got down 28 to nothing. Other than that, the Browns have been a sad sack, hopeless organization. They made the playoffs one other time, and that was 2 years ago with Joe Flacco. They went to Houston, and Garrett did bupkis in that game. He pulled the TJ Watt, if you will, in the playoffs. And if you pulled up Garrett's stats from that last month in which he won the Defensive Player of the Year, which was a bogus honor, he didn't sack anybody. Well, you shouldn't go by just sacks. Okay, great. Yeah, good point. Let's start to ignore or undermine the one stat where it's like your job is to find the quarterback and hit the quarterback before he gets rid of the ball. So I'm not supposed to put a lot of emphasis on that. 412-928-9370. I know usually Mulsey likes to argue for Myles Garrett, and I feel like you're always the kid at the top of the stairs during these discussions, Donnie, because I think generally speaking, you like to gang up with Mulsey on me, but I feel like this is one of the rare instances where you agree with me, but you're just not very vociferous about arguing on my behalf with Watt over Garrett.
Well, that's where my question comes with this. You know, when something like this gets put out, because is it about what they've done to this point? Because if you take career for career, Watt has had the better of the two. But is it more about them projecting what is going to happen in the future? Because that is where I think Myles Garrett will get the edge. Garrett's game will likely age better than what Watt's does.
So let's
he is also over a year younger.
Got it. So let's do it this way then. Let's not do past. Let's not do future. Let's do right now. Who do you think is the better player?
So you're basically asking this year who's going to have a better year.
Who do you think is the better player between the two?
I think Garrett's going to have a better year.
Really? Why, though? Based on what? They're going to stink. They're going to be behind.
They pretty much always stink.
Yes. True. But they're really going to stink this year. Like, some years they've at least, like, been somewhat competitive. They're not this season. I think their over-under win total's 4.5.
Oh, I think they're going to suck. I think the Browns and the Saints are going to be the two teams battling for, like, the number one overall pick.
So Garrett's had 14 sacks in back-to-back seasons. When he won the Defensive Player of the Year, he had 14. When he was first-team All-Pro, he had 14. I guarantee you if Watt plays 17 games, he's going to have more than 14 sacks this year. It seems to be the consistent number for Garrett. I would bet a lot of money that Watt would do better than that. You disagree?
I mean, again, you are just going off one statistic, and Watt is also coming off a year when he had, what, 11 and a half?
11 and a half, yeah.
And he played most of the season. He was absent for the last handful of games.
So I'm sense, and I know it's like comparing him to what the evaluators say is the best edge rusher in the NFL, and Garrett, I'm sensing that you are very concerned about it. T.J. Watt, like, start to go the other way, back nine of his career, decline.
I don't think the guy's going to suck or anything. He'll still be a really good player.
No, I'm not. I didn't mean that by phrasing it that way with you. It sounds to me like you think we've already seen the best Watt in the years of him having 19 sacks and 22 sacks are behind him.
Numbers that high, we probably have. I mean, if you're just looking at the sack numbers or forced fumbles, I mean, we probably have seen the peak. I mean, and it was a hell of a peak.
He had six last year. He had six forced fumbles last season and nothing in the last month of the year, and I've crushed him for that. But I just don't get how Garrett gets, like, universally regarded as the better of the two players when he has the same number of Defensive Player of the Year awards and his numbers across the board are worse. Is it just the eye test? It has to be. That Garrett was the number one pick and Watt wasn't, so everyone just assumes that Garrett dominates games in a way that Watt doesn't or can't consistently.
I don't think
enough.
That's necessarily it. We've also seen now Watt, you know, he's gotten double teamed and triple teamed at times, but we see that more with Garrett, I feel, than we do with Watt. And we
could probably look that up.
And we will see.
We could probably find a stat on that.
Think about it. We will also see games where we go into the, you know, we go into the game thinking Watt has a great matchup. He's playing some scrub tackle or he's playing some rookie tackle. And then we come away from it thinking, man, he didn't do anything. He had like two tackles.
Sure.
He didn't.
But he's also had games against Buffalo where no one thought he was going to do much because he was coming off of sitting out training camp and games, and he's the best player on the field.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was his Defensive Player of the Year season.
Garrett
probably should have had another. I'm acknowledging all of that, and I'm saying up to this point he's had a better career than Myles Garrett. I just feel like Garrett will have more consistent numbers and his game will age better.
Why do you think that is, though?
Garrett's more of like a power rusher. I mean, yeah, he certainly will mix the speed in there, but Watt is like a lot of speed. Like speed rusher, get around the edge, like beat the tackle just off speed.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that normally goes before the power part of the game does. Again, I'm not saying the guy's going to just go right in the toilet or be bad. All I'm saying is I think
that, no, you think from this point forward, Garrett will be the better player of the two.
Yeah, if we want to say the back halves of their careers, I would say Garrett. Watt had him in the first part, but the rest of the way, I do think Garrett will be a better player.
I think there's a little bit of like, what have you done for me lately there? Because Watt just sucked so bad at the end of the year. People forget 2 years ago when Garrett won the Defensive Player of the Year. In their last 2, 4, 6, 7 games, he had one sack. I don't care how much he was being double teamed. How do you have one sack in the last 7 games of the year and you're healthy? And then to make matters worse, they make you Defensive Player of the Year. And then to make matters even worse than that, their defense gave up more points on the road than any defense in the NFL that season. The worst. And he got rewarded with Best Defensive Player because they went by the PFF grades and pressure rate and not the numbers. I'm getting mad about this again.
There's also a simple way for me to help Watt's career age that they have not seemingly gotten on board with.
What's that?
That we have seen the Browns do with Garrett. You got to move the guy around more. You got to be more creative.
I agree with that, but I also would say this. I think
every single play, it's just
not
here's
be in the
Watt
same spot.
Up against the right tackle.
I agree with that. I think that's absolutely right. I mean, one of the things that people say about Garrett is he goes against left tackles consistently. Let's see if TJ gets flipped and plays against left tackles.
Also
how he
move
does.
Him
I'd love
around,
to see
though.
That. No, no doubt. No doubt, but the real hardcore Garrett defenders say the majority of Watt's snaps are against right tackles and the majority of Garrett's are against left tackles, therefore Garrett's numbers are more impressive. That's one of the things they fall back on. Well, if he starts taking snaps against left tackles, they can't say that anymore. Segment brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the fan beer of the month, New France Brewing's Carnegie Lager, and it supports the Simmons Center for Interstitial Lung Disease over at my favorite place to hang out, Mike's Beer Bar, right next to PNC Park. You can get the show whenever you want outside of the 2 to 6 window on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. No Malzy today. He's on a golf retreat. Donnie is here with me. NFL execs, coaches, and scouts believe Myles Garrett is a better player than TJ Watt, even though Watt's numbers are always or have always been better than Garrett's. Career numbers blow him out of the water. Win-loss record against Garrett, not close. Garrett did have more sacks last year, 14 to 11 and a half. Maybe that's it. Those 2.5 sacks in 1 year of the people that work in the NFL now saying Garrett's the better guy, but they said Garrett was the better guy last year, even though Watt had better numbers. So they'll move the goalpost to say that Garrett's better. I did just get something tweeted to me. It's funny how people find these things. The grandson of the chief, Art Rooney Sr., on a radio station in Florida today, Pat Rooney, how about this, saying it would be insane to pay TJ Watt. Someone with the Rooney last name, so that would make him Art Rooney II's nephew, Patrick Rooney Jr. TJ Watt is a great player, a great Steeler. Insane to pay him anything right now. And then he went on to say, absolutely insane. How about that? No official, role with the team. So this is not like he doesn't have like a scouting gig or he's not in their business office or anything like that. But this is someone with the Rooney last name who can say my papap or pops or whatever you call your grandfather is the friggin' chief, Art Rooney, saying it would be insane to pay TJ Watt.
He has to be related or else why have him on a radio
show?
Oh, no,
this has been verified. This is the chief's grandson saying this. I don't know how old he is. I don't think some 12-year-old called in. I think he's probably in his late 50s, early 60s. Part of the Rooney family tree. This is like when Art's brother talked about outperforming the mean. And it's well, Art would never say that, but that's probably secretly how they feel. All they want to do is make the playoffs every year, and if they win a playoff game, they're going to do cartwheels. They got to get some of these, Rooneys that aren't Art or Dan. They got to get these guys to shut up, Donnie. And they're just random. The backstory here has got to be fascinating. Who said... Yeah, there's a Rooney who lives down here. Let's get him on the show. The pretext of this appears to be he was on to talk about the Minka deal. It's a show in Florida. He must have some affiliation to the area. Maybe he lives down there, and he came on, and they asked him about Watt, and he said, TJ is a great player, but insane to pay him anything right now. I don't think it's insane to pay him. But I get the if I'm the Steelers, if Watt is asking for too much money, your leverage is, okay, you're still under contract. You're not a free agent. If our offer's not good enough, then we'll revisit it next year. And by the way, if we can't find middle ground next year, we'll just franchise tag you. So I've heard some morons say that TJ Watt has all the leverage. No, he does not. Both sides have leverage. Watt's leverage is The Steelers are circling this year as a big year. So they need him. But, like, let's say for whatever reason, he's, in their minds, being unreasonable, and they can't find middle ground, and they're like, okay, yeah, we'll just, I guess we'll just revisit this in the winter of 2026. I also don't see Watt tanking the year, mailing it in. I also don't see him sitting out games and missing checks. Like, Le'Veon Bell wasn't technically under contract because he never signed the franchise tag, but he missed huge money because of that decision, and Watt was here for that. Watt would never be dumb enough to do that. Patrick Rooney Jr. Donnie, Google this guy. See if you can find out more about him. Patrick Rooney Jr. Insane to pay him anything right now. Absolutely insane. We got to find this audio. We got to see if any of the aggregator sites have it already, or maybe Lindbergh's already got his hands
on
it.
Former member of the Florida House of Representatives.
So he went into politics. Huh. How old is he? Does he look like he's in his 50s or 60s, like I hypothesized?
Yeah, he would be 61.
Yeah. So a little bit younger than Art. Here is... Mr. Old School, one of our guys. Hello, Mr. Old School.
My guys, what's up? So here's my two takes. First thing, $41 million, I'm not playing T.J. Watt. He plays like Godzilla during the regular season, and during the playoffs, he's puffed a match dragon. But with that being said,
that's a good
he's
line.
He's still better than Garrett. And let me just give you the playoff stats between the two. You know Garrett has played in 3 playoffs. TJ's played in 4.
Watt is one
Garrett's
sack.
Stat. Right. TJ has, but here's the thing. Garrett has 5 solo tackles and 1 sack. TJ has 8 tackles, 1 sack, and 1 fumble recovery, and 1 fumble
touchdown.
Recovery for a touchdown.
Yep.
So
he's even been better
day,
than Garrett in the playoffs. Both have underachieved and underperformed in the playoffs, and Watt's still better.
He's still better. They both play like Puff, but he's still a better Puff. All right, guys.
See ya, Mr. Old School. Has this guy ever worked for the Steelers? Don? Do we see anything in his bio that suggests, other than being the grandson of the Steelers patriarch, does he have any other attachment or affiliation to the team whatsoever? Just completely out of the business?
Yeah, I don't see anything here. It looks like all politics. It doesn't look like he ever had an actual tie to the Steelers besides
the
name.
So he probably doesn't know the inner workings of what's going on, but it is still hilarious that someone with the Rooney last name who's related to the original face of the franchise is like, yeah, I don't think it's a good idea to pay Watt. That's not some season ticket holder or Joe Blow fan saying that. That's somebody who is in the inner, well, maybe not the inner circle, but he's in the circle somewhere. Let's talk to Justin next. Hello, Justin.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
That's an interesting point that you just that you mentioned about that relative of the Rooneys. I wonder if TJ is going to also now look at that and be like, well, somebody in their family doesn't think I'm worth the money. I wonder if he's going to hold that against the Steelers.
Or I wonder if he's getting that from somebody else. You know, like, is he getting it from someone who's Art or Art adjacent?
Exactly. But I do think TJ is still the better player than Miles. I have 2 friend groups, and one is a Bengals friend group, the other is a Browns friend group, so I go back and forth with them both about Miles and now Hendrickson, but... I think TJ might be on the back nine of his career, but still better than Miles for sure. Just bring more to the table.
Justin, what's your theory on why the people that work in the NFL, what's your theory on why they think Garrett's better?
Well, that I have no idea about, because I was going through the list also, and I was looking at the running backs list, and somebody ranked Bijan Robinson ahead of Saquon and Derrick Henry, so I really don't even put a lot of stock in that list.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold because you're going to get the Pantera tickets. We don't put stock in a list that's comes from the minds of not NFL writers or NFL fans. It's coaches, GMs, and scouts we don't trust. But I can't blame the guy for saying that. I mean, these rankings are wacky. And the biggest oversight is continuing to put Garrett ahead of Watt. Tyler Kennedy joined us yesterday and said Gavin McKenna, the Penn State hockey recruit, was going there to play for at least $500,000. Good stuff from TK. His visits are brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. You can find us anywhere, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts, the PM team. Just search us on those platforms. You can listen back to whatever you want, whenever you want. Donnie, sit down with Pat Freiermuth. Tons of great moments. Pat gets very introspective. Donnie Football and the Steelers tight end up on our YouTube page. Breaking Bread, brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread. They share an Italian meal together, and they talk ball and more at our 93.7 The Fan YouTube page. All right, time to talk to Mike Florio, sponsored by Goodrich & Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich & Geist, and JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, in the last 15 minutes, we have learned that another member of the Rooney family has ripped the intent or motive to sign TJ Watt. I feel like this is a red meat topic for you. You love stuff like this.
Wow.
Patrick Rooney Jr., who is the grandson of the chief, who is a former what, Donnie? What was his position?
He was in the Florida House of Representatives.
The Florida House of Representatives. He went into a political career, saying on a gambling podcast, a sports betting podcast down in Florida, that it would be absolutely insane of his grandfather's team to sign TJ Watt to a deal.
Wow. It would be insane to sign him?
Yes. Yeah.
Why? Because I think he's too old?
I can pull up more of the quotes here, but the quick blurb I got on this was that he said, absolutely insane. It would be totally insane right now to spend that kind of money on a player, $41
million. Wow. Well, you know, that dovetails with some of the chatter that's been out there. Didn't Aditi say on your program that the attitude that was projected toward him in 2021 is he should be grateful or he should feel fortunate? You know, that attitude they didn't have with Aaron Rodgers and didn't have with DK Metcalf, it's weird how it might be selectively happening with certain players. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to play for the Steelers when we don't want to pay you what you want. And they've been spoiled in recent years. Now, they had to pay DK Metcalf, but they got a quarterback for $13 million, a high-end quarterback, all-time great for $13 million. Last year, they got Russell Wilson for the minimum. I mean, last year, they were paying Russell Wilson, Kyle Allen, and Justin Fields less than what Mason Rudolph had
in Tennessee.
One year from the Titans. Yep. So, I don't know. You know, look, all these teams want to pay as little as they can, and sometimes the rubber's got to meet the road, and it looks like it could happen with TJ Watt.
Mike, who has more leverage in this situation, Watt or the Steelers?
Well, here's what it comes down to, and I think I wrote this after I was with you guys last week. Mm-hmm. I talked to somebody who knows people in the organization. I'm not going to make it sound like I know exactly what's going on in the organization, but the sense I've gotten, you know, they're very good about not...
Sure.
Except the extended family yes. members, the people who are
that's
you know,
now
in
happened
control.
Twice in the last few months with family members saying things.
The people who are actually in control aren't usually saying a lot of things publicly about their plans. But here's the way you got to think of it. When the time comes for the Steelers to put their best offer on the table, whatever it may be, is he going to say no to it and hold out under his $21 million per year salary, at least $21 million for the final year? We know it's a $28 million average, but it's $21 million going into this year. But if they'd offer him a package that has an average value of, let's just go with $36 million, that's the easiest because you have 18 game checks per season. Mm-hmm. So if their best number is 36, and he wants 40.25 to outdo Myles Garrett. Once the Steelers put 36 on the table, what that means is if you skip games, you're giving up $2 million a week. Is he going to do that? I think that those who deal with people in the organization, I know that those who deal with people in the organization believe that they're confident he wouldn't say no to that, to that kind of weekly. I'm not saying 36 is the number, but I think they believe whatever their best number is, once they put it out there, he's not going to say no to it. But we'll see. They may be wrong.
Mike, how about the guaranteed money aspect? Garrett got $123.5 million guaranteed. Watt got the first 2 years of his contract guaranteed last time. Let's just say ballpark, it is $36 million a year. That's $72 million guaranteed. That's not even close to what Garrett got. So how do you make him hold
full guarantee
there,
and injury guarantee are two different things.
Well, explain
I don't
that
have
for
the full
us,
guaranteed
then.
Signing in front of me for Garrett. But, you know, the number that always gets put out there is the maximum total complete injury guarantee. The real guarantee at signing is always less than that. But that was a big deal for the Steelers to do 2 years guaranteed at signing, fully guaranteed for Watt, because they only ever did it for quarterbacks before Watt's deal.
So Garrett has $59 million fully guaranteed.
Okay. So you said 59?
59 at signing. $59 million guaranteed at signing.
Yeah, yep. that's easy for the Steelers to do then.
Okay.
They could do $60 million fully guaranteed at signing and beat Garrett if that's the number. The real question is, how much are they going to tie up? And when will they be able to get out of it? The structure is going to be the key here. Because if he slips and they get to a point where they want to move on, they need to be able to rip it up and deal with whatever the cap consequence would be, minimize what they would owe him. I mean, look at what the Broncos owed Russell Wilson when they cut him. Like $37, $38 million. And they saved $1.21 million when he signed with the Steelers. You're going to want to avoid that. Like, if you just realize after a year, oh my God, what have we done? This guy's fallen off of a cliff. And I'm not saying he's going to.
Yeah.
But if age is part of this, flexibility to get out of it is going to be a part of the structure of their offer. But, you know, a lot of times guys don't care about that. They just care about the APY that gets put out there. I've talked to Devin McCourty about it. You know, tax issues, states where there's no tax, states where there's high tax. All guys seem to care about is APY. When it's time to compare, they're comparing APY. And structure may not matter to TJ Watt. He may just want the highest APY. And if it means the Steelers can bail after 1 year, maybe that's good enough for him.
Mike, there's been some local reporting on this that suggests that maybe one of the complicating factors of this is, hey, he didn't play well at the end of last year. The Steelers are a little bit worried that maybe they've already seen the best from Watt and they don't want to pay him for what he did in the past instead of what he's going to do in the future. Does that line up with some of the things you've heard about the Watt negotiation?
Yeah, I mean, that's more the common sense around the league. Why would the Steelers be waiting so long? Why would there be this sense that there's a gap? You never pay a guy for what he's done. If you pay guys for what they've done, you're asking for trouble. And, you know, the cliche used to be that the NFL is a what have you done for me lately league. It's not that either. It's what are you doing for me right now and what do I expect you to do for me tomorrow? That's what guys get paid on. They don't get paid on the past. They don't get lifetime achievement contracts. They get paid based on what we think this guy brings to the table right now, this year, next year, and maybe 1 year beyond that. And that's the key. So the older a guy gets, you know, Trey Hendrickson's in the same boat. He wants that Max Crosby deal. Well, he's not Max Crosby in large part because Max Crosby's 3 years younger.
Mike, who are the teams that are lurking around and hoping that either Hendrickson or Watt or one of these big edge rushers can't get a deal done so they can swoop in and try to steal the guy and trade for the guy? Who are the teams that are waiting in the wings to get bad news on the contractual front with these guys?
Well, look, these teams don't typically wear it on their sleeves because they don't want to create unrealistic expectations among their fan base. It potentially creates problems in your locker room if the guys currently on your team think that your front office is looking to supplant them with some big trade, but yeah. The Lions haven't done anything since Za'Darius Smith was released. Now, he'd like to go back, but you've got Aiden Hutchinson on one side recovering from a serious leg injury, and you've got really nobody that pops on the other side. And so it's just commonsensical. You know, look at the teams that are in the window. And I did a segment on this on PFTPM earlier in the week or late last week. It's all blurring together for me. But which teams are really in the window? How many teams really have a chance to win the Super Bowl this year? There's 10, maybe 12. And, you know, the question becomes, are we willing to take that big swing? Are we willing to go all in? Are we willing to make a decision that could cause cap problems in the future in an effort to get over the top? Or, you know, in the case of a team like the Eagles, not that the Eagles would do it, but how many times have we seen when, you know, somebody's floating out there that could be a difference maker, the Eagles find a way to get it done?
There's also a lot of conjecture here about what Watt's value would actually be if it came to that. And some people think it's crazy that they'd even get a first-round pick. Where do you come down on that?
Oh, I think that at a minimum, it's a first-round pick. But this is the problem. If you're going to trade for T.J. Watt, not only do you have to give him a contract that is bigger than what his current team is willing to give him, you have to value him more than his current team does, and you've got to give his current team enough to get them to trade him.
Yep.
Now, if there's somebody out there that's willing to do a 1 and a 3, right, and pay him what he wants, at a certain point, the level of trade compensation is a message to the Steelers. Like, hey, this team's willing to give him what he wants and give up a 1 and a 3. And I'm just using that by way of example. That's a message that the team that has him isn't valuing him the way that it should.
That's a good point.
Or the other team is just nuts.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we've got that too. We've seen that. The Browns is the Browns, as Juju once said. So, and I'm not saying the Browns would do something like that, but we've seen them give up 3 first-round picks and more to pay a guy $230 million fully guaranteed on a 5-year deal.
Now that you brought them up, yet again, this ESPN anonymous poll where they asked the GMs and coaches and scouts to rank players at every position. Garrett finished ahead of Watt again, even though for his career, Watt's numbers are better than Garrett's across the board in every meaningful statistic for edge rushers. So why do you think it is, Mike, that the people that watch the game and get paid by teams to critique these players and evaluate these players, why do you think that they almost universally believe Garrett is a better player than Watt, even though the numbers don't back it up?
Yeah, I mean, the pro-Garrett argument, as I've heard it, is he's constantly double-teamed. He's constantly the focal point of what the offense is trying to counter. His team is constantly bad. The Steelers are constantly good. And that would be a hell of an alternate universe where all things are equal, but T.J. Watt is a lifetime Brown and Myles Garrett is a lifetime Steeler. How different would they be if those two and nothing else?
Yeah.
If just those two things were swapped.
So he actually, it's one of those weird things where he actually benefits from being on a crappy team in the minds of people.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. When you stand out like he does on a crappy team, the argument is, you know, you don't have that. Not that the Browns have a horrible defense, but when you have a horrible offense, that puts pressure on your defense. Of course, it's not that the Steelers have been the greatest show on turf in recent years, and they still find ways to win. And maybe it's because Watt is ultimately a bigger difference maker in crunch time than Garrett. It's a fun debate. They're both great. And they both will end up, I believe, I mean, I don't really care about who gets into the Hall of Fame and who doesn't, because it's too political and it's too apples and oranges and you know, every other fruit imaginable, trying to compare and contrast which players from which era from which position. But I think they both have a case for it, and they're both currently among the best of the best. And, you know, we'll see. We'll find out what the Steelers are going to do, and we'll find out whether he shows up and holds in, which seemed to be a peaceful resolution last time around, versus not showing up at all.
Mike, top of your head, extemporaneously, because our producer, Donnie Football, will be doing this at 5 o'clock. Who would you rank number one as the top Steelers player of this quarter century, 2000 through 2024?
Probably, I mean, it's a quarterback-driven league, and Ben Roethlisberger won 2 Super Bowls. with the Steelers, and they were contenders every year with him. And look at where they are now without him. They're 3 years into the 20-year drought that they had between Bradshaw and Roethlisberger. Having the quarterback makes all the difference. So that would be my first thought. You'd have to come up with a good argument for someone other than the quarterback, because quarterbacks are so important to successful teams.
Although in 84, 95, 97, and 01, during that drought, they went to the AFC Championship game, which people sometimes
forget. That's right. No, they were still, and they went to the Super Bowl without him, and that's right. But they didn't get the one for the thumb between Bradshaw and Roethlisberger.
Mike, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
All right, see you, buddy.